is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 164 in a series of 260 chapters dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years here, the WHKP years since 1946. We follow the same format as that used with the great Frank Fitzsimmons, so we call it merely Where Fitz Left Off. And this week we're trying to tie in with the start of the political conventions, which will lead to the election in November. And today we'll recall the battle in 1958 when the press fell out with each other in Western North Carolina. Back in 1958, there was a heated primary for the Democratic nomination for the 12th congressional seat, a bit surprising considering that the incumbent, Representative George A. Shuford, had made it plain that he would seek re-election. One of the candidates to announce that he would run against him was Heinz Rollman of Waynesville. And after having been defeated in the Democratic primary, Heinz would then change his registration and run later as a Republican candidate. I remember the election well because it was in 1958 that my associate, the late Beverly M. Bevo Middleton, also decided he would run for Congress. Bear in mind, Bevo had never been active in any sort of politics. He knew little about either the history of voting in Western North Carolina or anything about the structure even of the Democratic Party. But he lurched into the campaign, and I spent most of my time trying to set the stage for him to accept defeat because, truthfully, he did not have a chance. The actual vote gave Shuford 52.95% of the vote, Rollman got 37.25%, and the remaining 9% of the votes went to Bevo and two other would-have-beens. In fact, in one precinct in Henderson County, Balfour, Bevo did not get one vote. The primary was held May 31, 1958. Less than a month later, a Raleigh News and Observer reporter released a story that Shuford had suffered a stroke before the primary and that the press, as well as candidate Rollman, had suppressed that story. Rollman did confirm in a statement to the reporter, Bob Brooks, that he and Shuford had met prior to the primary and had pledged a clean campaign. Rollman further admitted that he had received a call about an hour and a half after the fact, telling them that Shuford had been admitted to the hospital with a stroke. This story was picked up by UPI and fed to newspapers June 26th. By July 9th, Wymer Jones, editor of the Franklin Press, charged editorially that Jim Gray, president of the Western North Carolina Press Association, should call a meeting by Saturday to consider censure of that daily newspaper, which Jones charged had withheld from voters the seriousness of Shuford's condition. Congressman Shuford had entered an Asheville hospital 6 days before the primary for what was described as minor surgery and a checkup, and later he was transferred to Bethesda Naval Hospital, and an announcement was made that he had suffered a stroke. Wymer Jones in the Franklin Press charged, quote, 50,000 Democrats went to the polls May 31st under a complete misapprehension. The effect of what appeared to be a frank and complete statement published on the morning of the election was to reassure voters that their congressman's health was unimpaired. These facts that were given out were so given as not merely to hide the truth, but to distort it. On Saturday, the Western North Carolina Press Association meeting was held in the club room of the S&W cafeteria. About 25 people were present, but less than 10 official delegates were on hand for the hearing. At the meeting, it was brought out by discussion of the issue that Shuford had entered the hospital in Asheville on the Sunday prior to the primary, but that no news concerning this was published until the following Wednesday after the election. That was a matter of fact. Claude Ramsey of the Asheville Citizen-Times said that his paper published the news as we received it. He appeared upset at charges aimed at his journal, indicating his paper would accept certain criticisms, but, quote, we don't think you have any right to tell us how we run our newspaper. Upon questioning by Robert Sloan, who was publisher of the Franklin paper, that he was days late getting this into the paper, Ramsey said, quote, we publish the news as we receive it. We're not going around peeping into keyholes. We never have and never will, end quote. The final vote was 5-2 to table the entire issue. In hindsight, we see that 2 weeks later, Congressman Shuford announced that he was withdrawing as the Democratic candidate because of his health. And that meant that the Democratic District Congressional Committee would select the nominee. And before I tell you what happened at that meeting, I remember vividly Mr. Noah Hollowell, publisher of the then-weekly Western Carolina Tribune in Hendersonville, telling me that he had stepped in the breach to save the Asheville Citizen from a full-fledged censure motion from their fellow members of the Western North Carolina Press Group. Hollowell said he made a speech to the group, which was not reported by the media, citing as a theme, "We who live in glass houses should not throw stones." Now, the district congressional committee consisted of 20 people, two from each county, in the 10-county district, and among the candidates being considered were Hines Rollman, Bevo Middleton, Monroe Redden, that's Monroe Jr., James Stickleather, Asheville manager Weldon Weir, and others. I covered that meeting, went on all day over in Bryson City Courthouse, and all day long I heard only one theme. Ain't nobody east of the Balsams going to be picked here today. There wasn't. They selected former State Senator David Hall of Silva, who died at the age of 42 on January 29, 1960, before he finished his first term. More memories of this seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave, with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda, as we approach the next 50 years.